Good afternoon. This is the Committee on Health, Human Services, and Housing. It is Wednesday, March 18th. We have a long agenda today. We anticipate that we will recess and move into the evening hours, beginning again at 5:30. Let me just check. And we've checked to see if we could start a little sooner, but it looks like we can't. So because of that, as always, I ask that the presenters be certain to present the bill clearly, articulate what is in the bill, and that we keep our communications and conversations to the content of the bill and not on other matters of interest. And if I seem as though I interrupt you and try to keep those boundaries, please just know ahead of time that it's very important for us to be able to respect the time we have for all of the senators who have bills before us. So we're going to begin with Senate File 801, Senator Rosen's Dental Services Medical Assistance Coverage and Reimbursement Provision Modification. Thank you. I just would remind the testifiers that we only need a clear definition of what the problem is and what the need is and what problem it is you're trying to solve. And so I'm hoping the testifiers don't repeat that message over and over again. Just make it clear what it is that's the problem. Please make clear what the need is, and please see how this bill attempts to resolve that problem. I know there are many different groups and organizations that care about dental services and their provision, so I'm hoping that the testifiers don't go over the same content but stay specific to the proposal of the bill. Thank you. Senator Rosen, please begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. Senate File 801 basically modifies the MA coverage and reimbursement for dental services and authorizing development of a new dental reimbursement system. Last year, if you remember, I proposed a bill to eliminate the critical access dental program that caused a lot of discussion and appropriate discussion about our dental access in the state. And because of that, we've learned that it's severely crippled. I believe, and personally, I've sat on this committee for a long time, did not understand how bad our dental access for our public program folks are out there. It's very, very poor, especially in greater Minnesota. So the reasons why it's bad is because, number one, low funding rates. I mean, we are the lowest in the nation, 50 out of 50, for Medicaid payment rate for our pediatric dental services. And as you know, dental disease is the most chronic illness for children in the U.S., and I do not have to remind this committee or sell this committee on the importance of proper dental care and to the well-being of your total health care. It's so important. Minnesota's fourth from the bottom for our adult dental care services. And the OLA report from 2013 said, briefly, Minnesota uses numerous methods and types of payments to reimburse dental providers, and we found that payment policies are poorly coordinated and inconsistently implemented across medical assistant programs. We recommend that the state increase fee-for-service rates for dental services and give particular attention to rates for services provided to individuals with special needs. We also think that the Department of Human Services should more closely monitor recipient access to dental services, particularly for services provided through managed care or MCOs. So the Minnesota MA fee-for-service rates for paying dentists were lower in 2012 than in 2000 and lower than rates of most other states. And rates are based on an adjustment of 1989 dentist charges and not the cost of the current dental services. And I think these are amazing figures when you really start to peel back some of these layers on what we're doing here. MA dental services have been a longstanding concern among dentists. The amounts are too low and are inefficient relative to their costs for providing dental care. So it, as there is a serious problem, especially in Greater Minnesota. I'm not sure if you have the map that shows some of the access issues for Greater Minnesota. But more and more people are unable to access dental care, so they're using the emergency room. HCMC emergency department saw nearly 6,000 visits related to dental disease in 2014, and that's one hospital. And over a three-year period, Minnesota spent $149 million on visits to emergency rooms due to dental disease. So besides that, with our dental issues, besides the low reimbursement rates, we have an issue with aging dentists out there. And that's why it's so critical that we support the reinvestment on our workforce. And many of those bills are coming through this department and through this legislation. But the limitations on the critical access has caused a problem for some of our MA folks out in Greater Minnesota. And on a whole, the administrative complexity is really a situation. So back in early fall, we had a stakeholder meeting. And I would personally like to thank all those members of the stakeholder group that came to these meetings. We started off small, and it actually grew quite large. Delta Dental was one, the Minnesota Dental Association, Gillette Children's Hospital, Community Dental Care, Park Dental, Appletree Dental, Hennepin County Medical Center, University of Minnesota School of Dentistry, Healthcare Safety Net Coalition, the Association of County Health Plans, Health Partners, Children's Dental Services, Dental Associates of St. Paul, Minnesota Oral Health Coalition, and Ready, Set, Smile. And they broke off into subgroups and been working. And so we've met probably once every month or so, trying to figure out what are some of the issues. And it kept pointing back to low reimbursement rates and administrative complexity. And when you go and talk to your local dentist, they will tell you that it's extremely hard to want to commit to a public program patient. One, it's you're not sure how it's going to work with the administrative. But the recommendations from the subgroup dealt with patient eligibility and dental history, dental benefit limitations and frequencies, prior authorization, claims processing, and credentialing. So with that, Madam Chair, I am going to have Mr. Spezzetto go through the bill a little bit. I do have the A5 amendment I'd like to put onto the bill, too. But right now, I think we'll just have an introduction to the bill and some of the issues.
Did you want the A5 amendment passed out, Senator?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
But it's not a delete all amendment?
No, it is not.
And you prefer not to have us move on this until after you present the bill?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Spezzetto. Introduce yourself and begin your testimony to the contents of the bill. And I'm hoping that what your presentation will be in relationship to the problem.
Thank you. Madam Chair, my name is Dominic Spezzetto. I'm here representing the Minnesota Dental Association. I first of all like to particularly thank Senator Rosen for the effort she has put into this issue over the last year. We've all learned a lot about the complexities of the problem we have. The basic problem is one of access and assuring access for recipients of medical assistance in Minnesota care, particularly in Greater Minnesota, because of the fact that the dentists are getting older and we need to attract younger practitioners, and the situation where we're paying 27 cents on the dollar for dental services is not the kind of thing that helps them begin a practice or buy into a practice. So we have to be cognizant of where we are here and where we want to go in the future. This legislation addresses that. And there are basically five sections of the bill. I'll run through them very, very quickly. And if you have questions, you can ask as you see fit. The first section of the bill restores some periodontal benefits that were removed for adults. That happened a few years ago, and everyone in the coalition and the department agrees that this is probably a good step to reinstate that. Without periodontal coverage, you're missing half of the dental disease in that population, and doesn't make sense. Section 2 deals with Head Start screenings, and this is brought by the Head Start people and I believe AppleTree to kind of deal with the definitions of what those screenings occur. They're done by collaborative practice hygienists. It's a very successful program, but because of confusions of definitions and such, we lost reimbursement for that. This would restore that. Item three, this is the heavy lift. This would raise our dental fees by about 102%, and it's a significant request. We don't have an exact fiscal note, but I believe it's over $100 million. And I say that with a very straight face because I think that really highlights the problem that we have. We are 50th in the nation for services to children in reimbursement. We're 47th for adults. If we were to adopt this legislation as it is, this would merely bring us to average around the rest of the country. We have let this slip so badly. This would basically set the reimbursement rates, which are now based on 1989 fee schedules, to this century. We base it on 2012 fee schedules, and that the reimbursement would be 50% of whatever the average is of that particular service in the 2002 fee schedule. Again, that just gets us to being average. Item four is a grant to the School of Dentistry to develop a new payment reimbursement system for oral health services, create incentives for the comprehensive approach to dental care, hopefully increase access, measure and reward quality, promote coordination of oral services. We think this is an interesting approach to take. Dentistry, as you probably know, is all based on procedures. You do a procedure, you get paid. There's something called the CDT code, which determines how much money you get for each procedure. This would explore a different way to do that. The last section of the bill would set up a oral health system administrative simplification work group through the Department of Human Services. I won't take much time on that because I think Senator Rosen will be moving to delete that section to avoid going to the governmental operations or whatever committee, which I think is a smart move. We've been doing this anyway. Our stakeholder group has been meeting. The Department of Human Services has been very supportive of all the efforts that we've done, both in increasing reimbursement, the proposals in this legislation, and particularly looking at ways to simplify the administration of the 9 different programs that we have for dental services through medical assistance in Minnesota Care. So that, Madam Chairman, is the bill. I'd be happy to respond to any questions that you have.
Are there any questions at this time about the bill? I just have one quick question. I noticed that Section 2, I think it is, or Section 3, you say this rate does not apply to state-operated dental clinics under Paragraph P. Could you describe why that's in there?
Madam Chairman, I'm not exactly sure. My assumption would be that they have a different reimbursement system with the state because of some legislation we enacted a few years ago, which I think helps them get a better rate, and we don't want to do anything that would jeopardize that.
Right. That's
Ms. Kavanaugh.
That's true.
Madam Chair and members, that's correct. If you look on page 5, lines 1 through 4, the new paragraph C, that's where the state-operated dental clinic's reimbursement rate would be. I believe it's a cost-based, and then whatever it is, they get an extra amount.
Any further questions at this time? Senator Rosen, testifiers?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A5 amendment, please. And while this is being passed out, Madam Chair,
it is passed out, Senator Rosen.
The amendment is passed out. As you know, and members, I'm sure you know, this is causing some great angst in the room. But I just want to preface the work that, number one, has been done by the group that has been met through the fall. It's been very frustrating to find out that we need the administrative ease. That is one of the tools to make our access improve throughout the state is administrative ease and some benchmarks. That's what we've called them. Worked very hard on some of these benchmarks. This just recently came out as far as benchmarks that were created to be worthy of the $100 million price tag that this reimbursement rate is providing. That'll put us just in average in the nation. So the prior authorization for dental services on Section 3 would prior authorize a prior authorization is not required for partial dentals or dentures, excuse me, for dental services valid for at least 12 months, and a managed care plan or county-based purchasing plan may not require a new prior authorization for dental services if prior authorization for the service has already been granted. That is an extremely important part of it, and I know from here on out that gets a little more controversial, and I'm sure there will be testimony on this.
Senator Rosen, let me just you're reducing the amount of time put into prior authorization
exactly.
by this section.
Exactly.
The problem is the amount of time people are spending seeking prior authorization, and this is an effort to find a way to resolve that problem. Is that
exactly.
correct?
Exactly.
And I think I just wanted to make sure that that's what this was.
Madam Chair, and if when talking to any of your dentists that perhaps does serve some of the AMA public program patients, it is a tremendous quagmire they go through just to get payment because it comes in beats and pieces, and they're not sure when it's going to come. They're actually doing a lot of this service to our public program folks, just, you know, the service from their heart. So prior authorization is one thing that perhaps would ease some of their administrative complexity. The access on the benchmarks, this is something where basically at least, okay, so we number one, at least 97.5% of the enrollees must have access to non-specialty dental services within 50-minute or 50-mile radius of the enrollee's residence. And you can go through. Number two, at least 50% of the enrollees must receive a preventive dental visit that for children includes an oral evaluation, sealants, and fluoride treatment within the calendar year. Number three, the number of enrollees contacting the DHS help desk or the managed care ombudsman regarding problems with dental access must decrease by at least 75%. And these are moving targets, but this is a start. Number four, benefit restrictions and frequency limitations established by a managed care plan or county base must be communicated to dental providers and enrollees at least annually or whenever a service criteria or limitation changes, and shall be provided in sufficient detail to distinguish between similar services. So far, I don't think there's a lot here that we're asking too much from. And like I said, we can adjust some of these percentages. And number five, program and service eligibility information provided on a managed care plan, county-based purchasing plan, or dental contractor-provided website must align with and be consistent with benefits and limitations information available. The department's MMIS system and must correctly identify benefits available to enrollee at least 80% of the time. If the commissioner shall evaluate by March 15th of 2017 in Subdivision 2 whether the benchmarks identified in this division have been met, if not, the commissioner shall implement the dental competitive bidding system, and from there is a description on the dental competitive bidding system. It's
May I just ask a quick question here?
Sure.
So these service utilization access benchmarks, if they're met, then nothing further happens for those who meet these benchmarks. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's right. And there is some question of what if one entity reaches the benchmarks and one of doesn't. I mean, this is bringing everybody to the table and really making them cooperate and not cooperate, but basically talking about what can we do to make some administrative complexities and make this process easier. As I said, it's been a little frustrating because I have not received the results as far as what can be done to earn our $100 million. And I think Senator Lori would absolutely agree to that. He's been apprised of these changes, perhaps not this A5 amendment completely, but the A4 amendment you were apprised of and is perhaps has his own comments, but it's been vetted through. Not with the plans completely because we have been working on this, but with DHS and other folks.
I guess what I'm not clear about is in Subdivision 2 Access Goals, the last sentence is, If the commissioner determines that the benchmarks have not been met, the commissioner shall implement the dental competitive bidding system described in this next subdivision. So the benchmarks have not been met by everybody or by a particular, by everybody. Okay. Thank you.
And maybe that needs to be clarified, Madam Chair, better. And Madam Chair, I'm going to let Mr. Sposetto talk about the
subdivision three.
The dental competitor bidding process.
And Mr. Sposetto on subdivision three.
Madam Chairman, Dominic Sposetto, Minnesota Dental Association. We have been kicking around a way to basically fix this broken system for a very long time. We have at least three or four different levels of reimbursements to providers. We have nine different health plans that are doing this, and we spend approximately $130 million a year on dental care. And to be honest, we don't know where it's going. It's being contracted through subcontractors who sometimes subcontract with others. So I think the best thing we can do is to try and set up a goal for our system to meet. Now, the Dental Association hasn't really looked at the benchmarks very very succinctly. You know, there may be some adjustments to that. The thought behind this is that we have 2 years to basically fix what we're doing. And we began talking about this last year, frankly, even the year before, when we were talking about these various issues. We just haven't made any movement, and this would continue the movement and, frankly, would be a big stick, because if we don't come up with something in 2 years, the commissioner will implement a competitive bidding process, which would streamline the system, add administrative simplifications, and, frankly, we think some cost savings by doing a uniform system. With that said, one of the reasons that you need this sort of date to start immediately, because the department tells us it will take them at least 2 years to get to that system, that they can actually implement it through contracts and other sorts of things. So this would, they would basically be trying to gauge the benchmarks at the same time they're preparing to go with this particular type of program. And I'll let the department speak about how they do that. I know the department has seen the amendment, and I think they've worked on some of the language that's in it, and I'll let them speak to it. But the thought is, very simply, we can't fix this broken system in 2 years. We think you should blow it up and start over from scratch. And maybe this is a way to do it. Maybe it isn't. Maybe there's a better way. We'd be interested in any way that you think that we can improve this system. If we are able to obtain the amount of fee increase that's directed in this particular proposal, I think that would go a very, very long way to solve most of our access problems. And the administrative simplification issues would be less burdensome, given that the reimbursement is substantial. Without that, though, this is sort of a fallback, I think. This would be something that we would look at, assuming that we couldn't get the amount of money that we're requesting. And I should say that the coalition that has been working together for several months is not part of this amendment. This has not been part of our discussions. Our unanimity is on the original legislation, the five sections that I described, and I'm sure he'll have coalition members come up and speak for themselves. But again, the simple thing is give us a couple years to fix it, and if we don't get there, help us find something else.
Okay. Senator Lori and then Senator Benson have questions at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Rosen, I do support this amendment, and I thank you for bringing it forward. To tell you the truth, what I've said clearly for several years now is we need to make sure that our investments actually work to provide access to our public program enrollees across the state. This is not a new idea. I'm not certain that it would provide access. Nobody is. But what we've been doing hasn't been working either. And so if we're, I'm hoping to be able to make a significant investment in dental services and get the access for our public program enrollees that is the end goal for all of us, that we can all share. And if an additional investment doesn't yield the access that we're looking for, we need to take stock and look at other options. And so I think these benchmarks are reasonable. They, you know, I would say in my mind they are contingent upon us being able to, I don't have a target yet. They're contingent upon us being able to actually make some investments that we expect would be able to yield this degree of additional access again, for those in need of dental care. And so I plan on being able to support the A5 amendment. That said, I do have another bill up. I'm kind of watching for texts and things, but just for the record, I am supportive of the A5 amendment.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Rosen. There is controversy on this amendment, so I thank you for not asking for author's privilege on this amendment. And this is the first time I've seen this language. Senator Lurie's obviously had a longer time to look at and think about this.
Senator Benson, I would defer to you if you want to continue with your questions, but there are some people that would like to testify to the amendment. And I'm wondering, and you are beginning, you're preferencing your comments with there are some objections, which I thought you might be asking questions about. So do you think we should go ahead and hear from the testifiers, or do you want to proceed at this time? It's your choice.
I'll defer if I can get back in line after the testifiers.
You'll be first up.
I might have a lot more questions by then.
At that time, you'll be first up. Okay, great. So I would like to allow, with your permission as well, Senator Rosen, there are some people who would like to testify to the amendment.
Okay.
And so we would pause at this time for that purpose before we pass the amendment.
Madam Chair, I do have Dr. Mike Helgelson from AppleTree who could will testify on the amendment?
Mm-hmm. Actually, on the main.
Oh, on the main bill.
On the main bill, okay. So we're just looking at the amendment right now,
okay.
So I thought I might allow those who want to speak to the amendment to address the committee at this time. Is that acceptable to you at this time? Okay, so we will begin with Barbara Cox, Joe Raleigh, Tom Lehman, and Joel Ulan. And this testimony should be limited to a couple of minutes. So be clear about what the issue is. And as you all know, I've spoken to many of you that I'm much more interested in what your recommended change is rather than a continual discussion of the problems. So please focus your comments accordingly.
Thank you. My name is Barbara Cox. I'm testifying on behalf of Health Partners. I'm here with my colleague Greg Dahlgren from our dental plan who can provide technical assistance to how this works. I want to thank Senator Rosen for her hard work on this issue. Dental access is a huge problem in Minnesota, and we absolutely share the goal of improving dental access. And to that end, our dental plan, our 18 dental clinics, and Regents Hospital, which is a safety net hospital for 1,700 patients who couldn't get access to services last year, are committed towards that goal. We've been a part of the coalition, and part of the coalition has been working on administrative simplification. I'd like Greg to say a couple things about what we see in dental contracting, but suffice it to say, we know from our dental plan and from our dental clinics that the challenges that come from providing dental access are related to reimbursement. They are related to, you know, whatever the administrative questions are, but they're also related to a patient population that sometimes doesn't come, that doesn't show up on time, that doesn't have access to transportation. And we want to make sure that we get at all of those concerns, some of which, you know, cannot and are not addressed by this amendment. So we've had this amendment just, we got the courtesy of seeing it in advance from Senator Rosen, but we haven't had a lot of time to analyze it. We would like to come back with our recommended changes, Senator Sharon, to your question. We want to continue working with Senator Rosen and the committee, but we don't have changes right now for this committee because of the short time frame. I will tell you, up until now, we've had conversations with the other Delta, with Delta Dental about matching up our credentialing system to make it easier for providers. That's something that is on track to happen, and we want to give more information to the committee about that. But I'd also just state again that the complex issue of dental access is related to reimbursement, it's related to administrative issues, and it's also related to the challenges that these patients face in their lives making appointments.
And again, Greg
Say
Dahlgren.
Your name, please.
Greg. Thank you. Greg Dahlgren, I'm the Vice President of the Dental Plan for Health Partners. And in my role, I have one of the responsibilities of contracting with provider network. And specifically when it comes to Medicaid, if I had to rank order the concerns I've heard, it would be heavily weighted, of course, towards reimbursement, followed by no-shows, the ability to get patients there, showing up for their appointments, empty chair time, unproductive use of their facilities and their staff time, followed by administrative complexities. And as Barbara said, we're trying to address them. Given a little more time, we think we can.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lehman. Oh, excuse me, Joe Lally and Mr. Lehman. This is to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom Lehman, I'm testifying today on behalf of the Minnesota Association of County Health Plans, which are the county-based purchasing plans that serve public program enrollees in rural Minnesota. We've been active members of the stakeholder coalition that Senator Rosen convened, and as such have been working on administrative simplification and specifically consolidating our credentialing systems in order to make the process easier for providers. We're very committed to this work. As Senator Rosen said, access to dental services is vital to the health of individuals, and we appreciate her commitment to increasing access. We share that commitment, which is why dentists that serve county-based purchasing enrollees on MA are the highest-paid dentists in the state, we believe. County-based purchasing plans shift money from other providers to dentists to assure that our enrollees have a dentist nearby that they can see. For example, in Itasca County, there are 19 licensed dentists. 18 are enrolled to serve, 18 are contracted to serve MA patients. 18 out of 19. If you look at the map of where there's problems with dental access and a lack of dentists, it's basically a map of where county-based purchasing isn't. County-based purchasing plans do provide access to dental services. We partner with them and we pay them more to make sure that they're part of our networks. We've heard concern about administrative burdens on providers, and those are real issues, and we appreciate those. Prime West, we checked, which serves 13 rural counties, last year did not receive one complaint all year long on their provider relations complaint line from a dentist.
So, Mr. Lehman, would you focus your comments on the amendment and what it is that you are concerned about in the amendment and how you would have it changed?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize. A couple things. One, if county-based purchasing is not the problem, and we don't hear that we are, everyone says, you're great, you're what we'd like, if that's the case, we would like to be exempted from the bill. If there are problems elsewhere, let's focus on those problems. If we are not the problem, we're concerned about being swept in because there are a number of benchmarks in the bill. What if we meet all those benchmarks, others don't? Are we swept into a statewide single administrator, even though we're doing everything that we're supposed to do? With that, I'll close, Madam Chair, and thank you and members for your consideration.
And thank you. And thank you for the clarity of what your issue is. Senator Lori. You have
Madam
a question
Chair,
for Mr. Lehman?
Yeah, in response to Mr. Lehman. I mean, I think competitive bidding is not really the same thing as single administrator, and you guys might be able to put together a very good bid.
Madam Chair, too, I believe the county-based
Senator
purchasing,
Rosen.
Thank you, do an excellent job in what they do. In fact, South Country is increasing their dental reimbursement by 200%. So in a way, I think of them almost as a single administrator county. As a single administrator. But we did take, in this A5 amendment, we did take out county-based purchasing in Subdivision 1 in 1 and 2, and we left them in 4 and 5 to the benefit restrictions, frequency limitations. It's to be communicated to dental providers and enrollees at least annually. I don't think that's... And program and service eligibility information must be provided on a directed website, must align with and be consistent with benefits. So we took out the other benchmarks of county-based purchasing, and we did that this morning for county-based purchasing. We realigned that.
Okay. Thank you for that. I think the issue, though, was not so much in the benchmarks, was that if it's applied to all, then it would impact the county-based purchasing who are communicating that their system is effectively working as indicated by the map. So that's where their issue is.
If I can make just one final comment, Madam Chair and members. We are, county-based purchasing plans are the single administrator today in 42 rural counties. It's a locally controlled single administrator.
That's what you are.
We'd like to keep it that way, and we're just nervous about moving to a bid for a statewide administrator in which there will not be a locally run dental plan with local control. Okay. Thank you.
And Madam
Thank
Chair.
You.
That Senator is Rosen. That is valid, and that's something that we'll be continuing to work on.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Rosen. Our next presenter
is Joel Lally and Joel Euland. But I see, Mr. Scandrett, did you want to speak to this particular issue before we move on to the county-based purchasing issue? Okay. Please introduce yourselves and begin your testimony.
I'm Joel Lally. I'm Vice President at Delta Dental, and with me is Dr. Sheila Strzok. She's our dental director. I brought her up with me today when we learned about the amendment, which was a rumor that we learned last night, but a confirmation we learned about a half hour before the committee meeting. I have two handouts if there's a someone to hand them out. Both go to issues in the amendment. We have no problem with the base bill, with the bill that is collaborative, with the bill about which we've had a number of meetings and about which Senator Rosen has been really a leader on in terms of pulling a lot of different groups together. So we appreciate all that. In terms of trying to digest the amendment quickly, we have concerns. Delta Dental, just as by way of background, currently is the administrator for almost 80% of public program enrollees. Starting January 1st, we were hired or retained by UCARE to be their dental administrator. So in 2013, we had about 390,000 people over the year. In 2014, about 270,000 Minnesotans had enrollment through us, and now more than 600,000. So it's a big chunk of people is
a long agenda, and I need to get you to say what is your issue with the amendment.
The standards in the amendment aren't reasonable to be able to be met. We're unable to meet those standards. We can't assure 50% of the people on public programs get a preventive service in 1 year. And the reason is some people are only on public programs for 2 to 3 months. And there may not be a need for them to they might not express a need. We do know that 100% of the people who call our care coordination, so let me repeat that, all of the people that call our care coordination get a dental appointment. And part of that is because we have a large population that we do services for. Part of it is because we're also a commercial administrator. So that's something that I think we do very well. I don't know what the access rates are for the fee-for-service program. I don't know whether this amendment applies to the fee-for-service program or whether it applies only to managed care. And I don't know if that's necessarily, these benchmarks are necessarily a solution. We haven't had a lot of time to look at it, but we're concerned in the first, for prior authorization, I'll just go through the amendment quickly, Senator Sharon. I think that's what you want to focus on.
I think we need to really.
All right. In Section 5M, the prior authorization, we don't have a problem with doing that. We would need some time to be able to implement it. And it's difficult administratively for us to be able to change that,
Joel,
change quickly.
Subdivision 5M,
is that the
2.26.
Yes.
Subdivision,
I'm sorry. Yeah,
subdivision 3, number 5.
In Section 3, I'm sorry. And then on Section 4, in terms of the access benchmarks, we have no control over where a dentist locates their office, and we have no control particularly without the state properly funding the program, whether a dentist will agree to be part of our network. What I did hand out in the maroon map of the state, the black dots are dental offices, and the maroon circles around them are a 60-mile radius. We currently meet that 60-mile radius. We had no time to run a 50-mile radius of current dental offices. The problem with that, though, is a dental office can make an individual decision on whether they will accept new patients. So while we may have a dentist in our network for public programs within 50 miles, that dental office may be closed to new patients. And so that's a standard that we would have a concern about how we meet and what control over the standard we have. The next is the standard of 50% enrollees going for a preventive visit. The chart I handed out has a lot of information on it, with some different colors on it, a chart on the top and some boxes on it. For a full-time equivalency, which I think is the measurement that people think of, for a full-time equivalency, 62% of kids and I think it's 51% of all populations that we provided administration for in 2013 had some service. but much lower had a preventive service, much lower number had a preventive service. And so I'm not sure what the basis for that standard is, and again, whether it applies to fee-for-service or whether it applies to managed care.
In terms of the number of enrollees contacting the DHS help desk, I think I mentioned the 100% care coordination figure that we've had, and we've had for a number of years. And that's Section 4, Subdivision 3. Subdivision 4, we're okay with. Subdivision 5, we're okay with. Except that it would really depend on DHS providing accurate data to us. If we don't get accurate data, then our website would not reflect accurate data. And so an earlier notes on the amendment had this at 100%, and I see that the amendment is at 80%. So I think that those really touch on the issues. I think Delta Dental does a very good job in terms of providing access to public program patients. But the challenge goes back to the big problem in the main bill. And we can talk all day about administrative stuff, and I know, Senator Sheeran, you don't want to, but the chief issue is the funding. And without it, we're fixing peripheral problems and not looking at the foundation of the house. And that's what we really should focus on.
Right now we're talking about the amendment. Senator Rosen, did you want to respond at all to any of this
well,
so far?
Delta Dental does an absolutely amazing job, Madam Chair, and thank you for that. But as you can see in the dots, we have very few. In my county, in Martin County, the one provider will only take people that are in treatment programs, the elderly, children, and the disabled. No other adults. He doesn't have time. He loses money every single month. He's an established dentist, about ready to retire. There is no one else out there. So I know that a lot of the providers do a very good job, perhaps in the metro, but we're talking about access for the entire state. And as I said before, even though these benchmarks can be adjusted, I do believe for the money, for the investment that's coming from the state, we deserve some simplification to make sure that we get more providers.
And Senator Rosen, we should have benchmarks that make demands for that kind of money too, as well. So I don't have your name on the list here to testify. So I need to stay with who's requested time to testify.
And Senator, I wanted to bring our dental director on the chance that the committee members had more technical questions about which I was unable to answer.
Okay, thank you. We have Joel Ulan. Do you have anything to add to this? If not, We know who you are and what you do. So, what is it about the amendment that you would like Senator Rosen to know about?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, obviously many of my points have already been stated, but I think one of the and I'm Joel Ulan from UCARE. I think many of my points have been stated, but I think the core question that needs to be asked as we look at some of these different performance statements and access requirements is, at what point does the funding that is being provided in this bill actually increase the amount of access? I think for us, we've had a lot of challenges as we've tried to contract with dentists across the state where we will be sometimes asked to pay double or triple what we would usually pay by the dentist. And, at some point we need to also have a measurement as to if we pay this much money or if the state spends this much money on dental reimbursement increases, at what point does it actually get to the tipping point where we actually start to increase the access? And, there's a number of measurements that are here for the health plans. We're used to these types of measurements. I think, I want to look at these specifically and see if these are workable or not. But I think that also has to go back to the dentists as well, is that we need to understand at what point, if we go through with this $100 million, will it actually increase the access and to what degree? And that's a key part that I think that if we're going to have this type of an amendment, we should have that type of measurement.
Thank you, Mr. Ulan. I think that's a critical message that you're saying, that that if we increase the rates and we still don't have increased utilization for our MA providers, I think we really will not be happy about that. So thank you very much. Mr. Scandrett, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, and then we're going to move on. At the wishes of the author. And the committee can ask questions, too, if there are more. Senator Benson, I haven't forgotten about you. Mr. Scandrett.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Michael Scandrett with the Minnesota Healthcare Safety Net Coalition, and also I have some comments on behalf of the county-based purchasing plans of things that we've noticed about the amendment. And my dilemma here is that I could just say I support the bill. If we're speaking of the amendment, there have many things that we've identified, having only seen it a couple hours ago. Just would say that I want to really thank Senator Rosen for really pushing us hard last year, getting the bill passed. We've been meeting hundreds of hours, dozens of meetings, and EMDA has convened those for us. It's been very productive. We made a lot of progress. And where we are with the bill, as you have it before, it is a really important step and something that all the stakeholders agree to. If the amendment is adopted, that agreement and consensus will be gone. And we'll all start lobbying all our individual positions on everything. And so we're concerned that we're going away from our instructions of getting together as stakeholders in a very unusual partnership, which has really never happened before. And we've worked very hard on that. So had we had this a couple of months ago, we would probably all be in front of you with a revised version that we could support, having seen it a couple hours ago and seeing that it's inconsistent with all the things that we've committed to each other to work together on. We can't support the amendment, and I'd be happy to go through all the things about the amendment that are not ready for prime time and have issues with them, if that is the committee's pleasure. Should I?
No, that would not be the committee's pleasure. but I would appreciate that you'd put them in writing and provide them to Senator Rosen.
All right. I would just say encourage the committee to, rather than put this amendment on and have us be fighting until finance, that we will continue to work as we have been doing at Senator Rosen's request. Now that we have something to look at, we'll be happy to get back together and work on that. But if not, we're going to have to kind of do it the old way. So I'd appreciate it if the committee would give us the time to, now that we've seen this, to come up with another stakeholder agreement among all the groups and bring you a package that you don't have to hear from everybody about.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Scandrett, for that. But I am going to challenge that a little bit. We have been working very hard. There was some recommendations that came out, passed these around. Nobody could agree upon them. Is this a heavy mallet? Absolutely. A5 is a heavy push. But if people want to lobby and not lobby each of you individually instead of getting together and figuring out what can be done for administrative ease, because that's what I'm hearing from my dentists that would like to provide more coverage for MA enrollees, and they can't because it's too difficult, then that's how it's going to be. But I feel very strongly that we need to get something then a little more, you know, if prior authorization is a problem, tell me why, and let's get together and figure out what the problem is.
Mr. Scandrett, I really don't want to have this argument here. I'd like to move now to questions from Senator Benson. It's clear that there are issues of disagreement. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Rosen, I thank you. You could have just asked us to do this as an author's amendment, but you want to move to measuring benchmarks for $100 million, and I think that's smart. I would hope that this could be worked out before finance. My particular questions on Section 4, what if there's one provider that just tanks all these benchmarks? It seems like everybody gets swept in, and I don't see sort of a relief valve for the commissioner to use judgment if there's one bad actor. I'm not calling out anybody in the room. I'm just saying everybody's in for a dime, in for a dollar. I don't see credit for people who are trying really hard and meeting their goals. So I think that is just one really high-level issue that I would have with Subdivision 1. Subdivision 3, we move to a competitive bid for administration purposes. And I might be missing it, but is there somewhere else in statute where this is brought up for a bid every 2 years, or is this in perpetuity, and what does that do to our dental administration competitiveness if there's a single bid? I just would like to know a timeline on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Benson, those are good questions. The dental competitive bid, I'll be honest, that is DHS's new word for single administrator, which is not single payer. And it is under the state procurement requirements for contracting to rebid at least every 5 years. There's six other states that have done this: Texas, Tennessee, South Carolina, Utah, Idaho, and Virginia, all very conservative, proactive states that have seen great results in their dental services to the public programs. So it is, like I said, it is not, it is something that's farther down. The commissioner can deem it that's what we're going to all do, but it still brings everybody to the table, and that is my goal, is to bring everybody to the table to keep working on this dental access issue.
Okay, Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Rosen. I think by bringing the A5 amendment, you are going to get everybody back to the table in a big hurry. I do have concerns that I think the bill was the easy part. Everybody wants more money. Everybody gets more money. That's the easy part. With the disagreement among the stakeholders, I know you are good at process. I hope that you will. Maybe we don't move this amendment and you come back with a clean amendment for finance so that we don't get our offices filled with lobbyists. But that's a process question, and I would leave that to the committee. But I think you have made your point that everybody needs to sit down and get serious about this. Again, my question on subdivision one, what happens if there's one bad actor? Is there a relief valve somewhere? Does the commissioner have an option? The commissioner shall procure. What if the commissioner says, you know what, we're seeing improvements, we're close, we're not all the way there. This says in January 2018 they shall. And with something this big, I think a may instead of a shall. So I think this needs, I think you've made your point. Mm-hmm. And hopefully people will take it seriously.
Thank
Senator
you.
Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I hope
we have the A5 amendment. It is your decision at this time as to whether or not you want to move it or if you want to wait and move it in the Finance Committee.
Madam Chair, I am going to move it. I am going to put it on because I do think there is I do need to take out the work group provision out of it. And I do believe, Senator Benson, I think you made a good point about there needs to be a safety valve for folks that are moving in some administrative ease. There is work to be done on that. But I do think, and just knowing what I've been through, we need to get something on the table to start working from. And from that point on, it's almost the reverse of what we normally do is, we'll continue to work on it and then have an amendment. I would like to get this piece on. This is a heavy lift. But actually, and some of the benchmarks, I want to know why it's such a heavy lift. And I haven't, of course, they've just saw it, but this came out of the department, a lot of this was from research, too, and so I think it's a good starting point. So I move the A5 amendment, Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen moves the A5 amendment. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the discussion here and the direction that this bill and the amendment is moving, and I'm certainly a strong supporter of benchmarks and knowing that how we are spending our state taxpayer dollars is being effective and getting us to where we need to be. So I like that part of the bill. There's one piece that I need to have clarification on before I can support the A5 amendment, and that has to do with the county-based purchasing. I know there was discussion about it being exempt in some parts of the bill and not all, or some parts of the amendment and not all parts of the amendment, and I need to understand that better before I can support the A5. So is the county-based purchasing exempt from the A5 amendment?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Nelson. They are exempt in the first subdivision one of one paragraph or paragraph one. Subdivision one on the access benchmarks. And also we took it out of paragraph one. And we took it out of paragraph two. We left it in number four and five on page 1.28 and 1.32. And from Mr. Lehman, I need to know why having benefit restrictions and frequency limitations established by county base must communicate to dental providers is a problem, and why that can't be information provided on a website is a problem. I don't understand why that is a problem. actually the county-based purchasing are doing a very good job for their the service area that they are having. They are getting the access, but it's not consistent. So I'm willing to continue to work on that. That is not a problem.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen, I think the issue is to be exempt from the competitive bidding process if benchmarks are not met. So it's when it's in the amendment where subdivision 3.
Yes, right.
That the request from the county-based purchasing is to be exempt from that because they already
are.
Yeah. So that's the question that Senator Nelson, they are not exempt from subdivision 3.
They're not exempt
under the current A5 amendment, but there has been a request for Senator Rosen to consider that.
I'll just turn that over to you.
So,
Madam Chair, I'm going to let Mr. Spizzetto answer that question.
Mr. Spizzetto.
Madam Chairman, Dominic Spizzetto, Minnesota Dental Association. As I understand it, and just reading this, I think county-based purchasing would still be subject to the competitive bidding process. We are exempting them from some of the benchmarks. I've been told by the department that county-based purchasing doesn't do fee-for-service. Fee-for-service goes directly to the providers. I don't know if that's true or not, but the department didn't seem to think that they could carve out county-based purchasing from this competitive bidding process. So I think as this goes forward, if it does, we'd have to get clarification from the department about how that would work.
Senator Hayden.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Rosen. This, I'm trying to kind of follow all of this. I, you know, in some instance, kind of like the idea of kind of putting something out there for people to react to. I will say to those who are thinking about it, I think your words about talking to you and not to all of not lobbying all of us is probably much more prudent to getting something done. I just want to throw that out there for those who are listening. but something has struck me about kind of the way that you've arrived at this, and Mr. Spizzetto said it about kind of the department, and the department has kind of led this, and the department has given us some of this information, but I haven't heard from the department yet. And I know I've been in and out a little bit, and so I don't know if we have time enough to call them up there, but I think that as we move forward, I think it would be helpful just as a coalition to understand some of the basis of the information that you put in the amendment that seems to be coming from the department and them to be able to speak to this and how they arrived at this.
Madam Chair,
Senator Rosen.
There goes the department.
The department was at every single one of the stakeholder meetings. I have to admit they've been stellar, and they I asked them to draw up these benchmarks. I kept Senator Lori in the loop on a lot of this, but I'm not smart enough to come up with these benchmarks. And so this was the department, a lot of it with Ms. Kavanaugh too, as far as some of the other issues on the sealants and the 50% and all that. But so we can bring up the department, Madam Chair, if you'd like.
I think the question from Senator Hayden is about helping, if the department could briefly come up and answer the specific question, Senator Hayden, which is there's a rationale from the department behind what it is that's proposed here in Section 4 or Section 3.
Madam Chair, if I may, because part of what the testimony from the providers or others was that they wouldn't be able to do it. They can't meet it. And so I don't want that to be characterized as they're not doing a good job. It sounds like it's just something that they can't do because of their practice. But the department has said, well, it looks like this is like the standard. So I'm just trying to figure out how did they arrive at that if so many folks are saying that they can't meet the benchmarks. Are at least concerned about it.
So thank you. To the question, the justification for this set of benchmarks.
Madam Chair, my name is Julie Marquardt. I'm the Director of Purchasing and Service Delivery at DHS.
Ms. Marquardt.
And we have been attending the meetings that Senator Rosen has hosted. And the way that we arrived at the benchmarks is I think, based on some of the input from some of the other stakeholders, these were kind of maybe like their top 10 list of most significant administrative burdens that dental practices were facing. And we've heard this. This is not new to us by any means. But we really looked at, if we were going to do a competitive bid, what would we look at from a vendor that we hired? What metrics would we set for them that we would expect for the fee-for-service and managed care population? So we sat down and said, "What if we were going to really look at making an improvement?" And we've talked to other states who have done that, looked at the kind of improvements they were able to make in short periods of time, and we came up with what we thought were aggressive but still reasonable metrics. So,
okay. Madam Chair. A follow-up from Senator Hayden. Then we need to move forward here.
Well, no, I guess I'm just saying that I just haven't heard a lot of people come up to say that this was reasonable and that they agreed with it. So I just don't – I'm just trying to figure that out. So Rosen, you guys have been involved. I don't want to kind of end
– Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Senator Hayden. And that therein lies the problem. I think you get the frustration a little bit that I'm feeling, that I need some – show me the money. show me the benchmarks and show me some improvement. So with that, I withdraw the A5 amendment, Madam Chair. And I am hoping that people will come to the table and show me some real results, because they said they've been talking. I haven't heard the talks. I haven't heard about what the Health Partners is talking to Delta Dental about. And they keep saying, we can't do this and we can't do that. And this will be showing up in Senator Lori's committee. He is expecting benchmarks for the amount of investment from the state, and I will be presenting a list of benchmarks. But
thank
I'm
you,
hoping
Senator
that
Rosen.
They have.
I just want to join you and support you in the fact that I expect these benchmarks too. And I heard from the department that these benchmarks are drawn from other states' experience, and that has a lot of weight. That this has worked. These benchmarks have worked, and they do maybe expect more than has been in the past, but you are asking for a lot of money from the state, and that you've said eloquently that the state taxpayers have the right to ask for something for that.
Absolutely.
So,
Madam Chair,
I'm surprised that you're withdrawing the A5 amendment, but if that's your choice, that's fine. But I would add, I'm on the Finance Committee too, that I am not interested in this conversation at the Finance Committee.
Thank you.
At the Finance Committee, there is either Senator Rosen's language or new language that's been agreed to by the parties, and we're going to move it forward in finance. So we're not going to have this circus occurring again at finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay,
Madam Chair.
Yes.
And I think if we're going to ask the Finance Committee for $100 million, there had better be some benchmarks. And I look forward to seeing what that looks like. And I
thank you.
Would just as soon have lobbyists in my office as lobbyists at the table in finance. So I look forward to having this solved. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Benson and everyone. With that, though, I do need to delete the Section 5 of the bill that does take us to state and local government. I believe a work group is redundant. We will be having this work group tomorrow.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Madam Chair, this is a work group so I don't think necessarily state and local would want to see this.
Madam Chair, can we just delete it anyway? I don't think it's necessary.
You offer the oral amendment to delete Section 5 from the bill. That's an oral amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay. And we also need an amendment, Senator Rosen, to on line 4.29 to change the letters CPT to CDT. Senator Rosen offers that oral amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Passes. Both amendments pass. Thank you very much. And to the bill itself, Senator Rosen.
Yes, Madam Chair. I do have another amendment, though. It's the A2. Do you have that amendment, Madam Chair?
I think we do.
Yes. It's.
Or we don't.
Madam Chair, this is just a bill. It's a good bill. I just thought we could amend it onto this germane dental bill. It's about, Madam Chair, if you don't mind me.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
A dentist who is enrolled as a medical assistant provider and is a faculty or adjunct member at the University of Minnesota, or a resident dentist is able to be enrolled as a medical assistant provider if the provider provides complete and complete submission to the commissioner. So it came from the university, and I think it's very self-explanatory here.
Does the committee have any questions? We know the university is here and could answer questions in relationship to this. If there are any questions, did you want to speak to this issue? There are questions. Seeing none, Senator Rosen offers the A2 amendment to Senate File 801. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The amendment passes. Thank you. Senator Rosen to the
Thank
bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, and I did have the A3 amendment, and that is the critical access. But Madam Chair, I'm not offering that. That basically would cause a lot of problems. But that deals with the critical access issue that we have in the state and the funding. And again, critical access is not doing the job out in greater Minnesota. So I am not offering that. The conversation will continue about this. But I look forward to working with the folks in this room, to continue working with the folks in this room. And with that, Madam Chair, I move that Senate File 801 be recommended pass and sent to the Committee on Finance Committee.
Finance.
Okay.
There's a motion on the table. We are just discovering now a name that I skipped over. And I really am sorry about that. And I suppose you've been sitting here this whole time hoping I'd say, Jean Anderson, would you like to speak to the committee? Yes. I'm sorry for being out of order here.
Jean Anderson, Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for giving me this minute, and I won't take very long at all because I am in support. The educators of dental hygiene students in the state, which are comprised of 10 programs, speak in favor of these provisions that are being added back in. But I wanted to specifically mention one item, and that's in the bill on line 1.20, that it says it adds in or full mouth series of x-rays if panoramic x-rays cannot be taken, which probably means there is not a machine in the office. But I want to draw attention to the fact that what happens when we see a medical assistance patient at the University of Minnesota, we're told we can take this type of x-ray, which is a pan, for those of you who haven't seen one, and it doesn't have the detail and the definition that the full mouth set of x-rays has right here. And so what happens is we take the pan, and then we take four more of these in order to diagnose decay. And then we are able to take four more at one appointment in order to identify any further problems, which totals more money overall than taking just the best standard of care for most circumstances with the full mouth set of x-rays. So I would propose that we strike if a panoramic x-ray cannot be taken for a lot of reasons, and that this is most diagnostic and most desirable and for most patients. And it would also lower the cost to the state overall when you add up all the films that are necessary to get a proper diagnosis. So I just felt that was important to bring up in committee.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate the information. I just received it right before committee. I asked for that to be written down.
Yeah.
We will make that adjustment in finance.
Okay, thank you. So we're back to the amendment, to the bill be passed and referred to finance. As amended, any further discussion on this bill? I just want to join with the others who have voiced extraordinary appreciation, Senator Rosen, for wrestling this situation to some conclusion. And I know you're still in the wrestling match, but we appreciate it very much that you're engaged in this process on behalf of all of us. So with no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion passes. Thank you, Senator
Thank you,
Rosen.
Madam Chair. Thank you, members. Appreciate it.
Senator Herr? Senate File 636. Is it distributed?
Madam Chair and member, thank you for hearing us. Senate File 636. First of all, I have a delete all amendment to A1.
Thank you. I understand you have a delete all amendment that we're distributing right now, Senator?
Yes.
Is this your first hearing?
Yes.
Okay. In this committee?
This is your first hearing is in Health and Human Services. So, Senator Howe offers the – oh, no, it would, cannot be.
Yeah, this would be my second.
Oh, this is your second.
Yes, and this – no, not for this bill.
For this Mr. bill.
Chair. Oh, this is the first hearing for this bill.
This is your first hearing on this bill. So, yes. Senator Hayden offers the A1 delete all amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Thank you very much, Senator, to the bill.
Thank you. Well, data show that more than 50% of elementary children have experienced tooth decay.
Can you pull your microphone up, please? Thank you.
Okay. And about 20% of them have untreated cavity. Social disparity are most common element that prevents children from receiving service. The Senate File 636 eases this by address two issues. First, it creates an early dental prevention initiative that will direct MDH to develop outreach for communities of colors and immigrants regarding the importance of early dental prevention and care. And second, it also creates grants for nonprofit practitioners to increase the availability of treatment facility in the underserved area. The amendment mainly just to get proper terminology and broaden the language so that other safety net providers has the ability to pursue the grant program. Now that everyone had the DDL amendment, I also want to seek council advice, too. I noticed on 2.18, is that language, is it page 1, delete line 3? Is that just a cut and paste mistake from the previous bill, or is it?
Madam
Ms. Kavanaugh
and Senator, that just basically amends the title of the bill.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yep. Not quite familiar with the structure of the bill yet. So, yes. So, yeah, that's pretty much about the DDR amendment is to clarify some language. And with me to testify for the bill is Dr. Lachery Peterson and Juan Gomez, next to my right here. Either of you can go first, I suppose.
Thank you very much. Dr. Lachery Peterson, thank you for being here. Are you going to be the first testifier?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you. And as you can see, we're very close to the end of our meeting. It would be helpful to us if you would be clear to stay focused on what the problem is and how this bill fixes it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Lachery Peterson. I am a family dentist and CEO for Community Dental Care, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We have a total of 49 operatories at 4 locations in East St. Paul, Maplewood, Rochester, Robbinsdale. All of our locations offer extended hours to provide more access to working patients and children in school. Currently, we employ 212 dental professionals, including 36 dentists. In 2014, our 4 clinics provided for 37,500 unduplicated patients and delivered almost 111,000 patient encounters. 90% of our patients are either on public program or are uninsured. More than 60% are a minority. Our Robbinsdale Clinic is located across the street from North Memorial Hospital and serves a large number of patients from North and Northeast Minneapolis. It has been open for 1 year. While our Rochester Clinic has been open for 2 years, already both are in need of expansion. Our Rochester Clinic, even with 2 shifts, has 2,500 patients booked until June. When we survey them, they complain about having to wait so long for the appointments. They are afraid that the cavities they have will become worse and require root canal treatment, or they may have to lose their teeth altogether. Their need is not imagined, but it is real and urgent. Passing This bill will help us to expand so we are able to serve more low-income patients, like those who otherwise have nowhere else to go. And I would like help to pass out these to...
Is there a page? Isaac's coming.
As for the early prevention, my feelings never change. Throughout the years, my heart still feels the ache when I see a child who is clearly in pain from severe caries. Every time that I have to treat these children who has teeth infested with caries, every time I have to insert that needle into the little mouth to give Novocaine, and then to pick up the drill and bore into those little tiny teeth, I think this does not need to be this way. As a child cries, sometimes the parents cry with the child while helping me. My heart screams out that if only parents learn how to care for their children's teeth as soon as their first tooth erupt, their children would not have to suffer through this. You see, the process of the carry is that if you eat or drink, the remnant of the food sit on your tooth. And the bacteria sit on your tooth too, and it excrete acid after they eat the food. And that process, then the acid is making microscopic hole on the teeth. And that is the process, that the process is called the destruction process. And then, thanks God, that our saliva has components that it can make microscopic cement, and it plug the hole of this little hole.
Doctor, I'm really sorry to have to interrupt you, but we really need to focus on what the bill does. And I understand we understand the need. We absolutely already understand the need, and so it's imperative for us to understand what you're proposing in this bill to solve the problem you're describing, because we need to act on it within about 8 minutes here.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. The American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry Reference Manual stated, newly erupted teeth because of immature enamel and teeth with enamel hypoplasia may be at high risk of developing caries. It is necessary that we escalate the efforts by the Department of Health, social workers, WIC, child care centers, pediatricians, nurses, oral health professionals, and others to teach early dental prevention, starting when the first tooth erupts, which is when they were about 6 to 8 months old. This will not only give us cavity-free children, but it also will help parents and children learn excellent oral health habits that will last a lifetime. The extra bonus will be that it would help save the taxpayer money. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just want to draw the committee members' attention to the bill itself. It's an early prevention initiative. It directs the Commissioner of Health to a number of activities in collaboration with the Commissioner of Human Services to develop educational material, to distribute those, to ensure they're getting to the right groups, expecting new parents, targeted communities. In developing the materials and the distribution plan, the commissioners to work with targeted communities, dental providers, etc. And there's also in Section 2 a grant for dental operatory expansion, and the dental operatory expansion must be operated by a critical access dental provider, and the dentist or clinic must comply with statutes as it relates to the use of sliding flea scale, and the grant application submission process is described. So that's the essence of what's in the bill. So I really need, Senator Howell, for us to talk about the bill. Sure. And I know we have a couple of other testifiers that want to tell some stories, but we are really running out of time. So,
yes, Madam Chair, that's pretty much the
essence of the bill
that you just stated there. I know folks want to share their little story, so would you allow a few minutes for Mr. Gomez here and to give his point of view? And
yes, Mr. Order. Gomez, if you could speak to the bill, or is it a personal story you want to tell, or is it to the bill?
Personal story, Madam Chair.
Okay, and I know we have a couple of other people. Be prepared to come up. One of the things that we discover in the committee is that when we say, "Can you do it quickly within a couple minutes?" because you're inexperienced at testifying, you don't realize how much you'll go over a couple minutes. So please, we do want to hear, but we need to clear the room, unfortunately, for other committees.
Sure. Go ahead, Ms. Sokol.
Well, as an employee of community dental care in the Rochester location, one of my job duties is to schedule the patients. A thing I notice on a daily basis is the patient's desperate need for that dental care when they call us. Oh.
Can you pull your microphone forward just a little bit? Thank you.
Unfortunately, our schedule is so full that patients cannot be seen by a doctor until more than 3 months into the future. We receive approximately 10 to 15 calls a day from people who are desperately looking for someone to help them. Procedures that would be easy for the doctor to fix are being postponed just because our schedule is so packed and these simple problems escalate to become more serious. Sometimes patients who have already have appointments with us that are still a couple months away experience acute pain and simply cannot wait any longer.
I guess the auditory portion of our recording cannot hear your voice, so you really need to almost speak directly into that microphone.
Right. We had a number of children whose parents couldn't bear to see them in pain any longer. In these cases, we asked them to come without an appointment as an emergency walk-in and wait. There's a patient that we just saw last week that had to cancel her dialysis appointments just so she can get into our doctor's schedules. She was desperate to have that available dental appointment. Community dental care serves a large area of southeast Minnesota, serving patients from as far as Caledonia, Wabasha, Blue Earth, Albert Lea, and areas that are even further away. If you look at the map, you will see what I mean. We have had 7,879 patients in the last 2 years. The majority of our patients that we see are located in that southeast corner. We need to expand to serve more of the underserved patients. We can do more for our children we see in preventative dentistry if we have more space. It will enable us to show video and do longer education, and patients are more relaxed when they are not in the dental chair. I support this bill.
Thank you. Thank you for your brevity as well. And I think you made your points very well and very clearly. So we have two others that I'll need the chairs, I guess, for two others who would like to address the committee. Mi Yang, who's the mother of two young patients, and Angelica Garcia, who's also a mother. And again, I would say to each of you as you come forward that please be concise in your comments and let us know the purpose for which you want to testify in front of us. And I understand. Is this a please say your names before you begin your testimony.
Mi nombre es Angelica García.
My name is Angelica García.
Thank you.
I'm Sonia Rios. I'm interpreting for Angelica.
Okay. Please begin. Your testimony. Angelica.
Pues a mí me gusta ahí esa clínica porque les enseñan a mis niñas, pues cómo cepillarse los dientes, cómo cuidarse y, pues desde que yo empecé a ir, pues han hecho buen trabajo, bueno para mí y mis niñas también.
I have four daughters that I have at the clinic going, and I like it there because they show my children how to do good oral hygiene at home. ¿Y qué más quieres decir?
Y que pues van bien contentas porque les dicen cómo cuidarse los dientes.
And they always go happy to the dentist because they show them how to brush their teeth.
Y les dicen que pues que no tomen tanta soda y pues así como que ellas de lo que les dicen, pues
escuchan
pues they, como que lo hacen en la casa.
They tell them not to drink a lot of pop and limit on the sweet drinks and everything that they say with the education and nutrition information. They do listen and they apply it at home. So that's what I like about it because they are listening to the dental educators and they're doing it at home also.
Thank you. Thank you. Is this Mi Yang?
Yes.
Yes, please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
My name is Mi Yang. I have two daughters. They're aged 2.5 and 13 months. And my 2.5 likes to go to the community dental prevention program because when she goes, they make it fun. And she's actually excited to go Imagine if she were to have cavities and had to go with a drill, she would be scared. But because of the prevention program, they taught her how to brush, they make it fun, and also teach me as a parent how to prevent dental caries in my child. And just by doing that, it makes it, she doesn't have anxiety when she goes to the dentist. And I just want to share a little story about myself. When I grew up in the refugee camp, and I didn't have any preventative dental care when I was little. So as an adult, I have a lot of cavities resulted in fillings and a lot of root canals. And so I don't want my children to have the teeth that I have. I want them to have healthy teeth. So I truly believe that the preventative program will prevent my child, will teach me and my family to care for them better and prevent them from going through the pain and the suffering of bad teeth and cavities.
Thank you.
Can I just mention one more thing that Angelica was telling me before? She has four daughters, one's 13, 10, 9, and 2-year-olds. The older kids, when she came into the clinic, they had cavities. But now with the 9 and the 2-year-old, they don't have any cavities because of the education that she got with the other two when they came in with cavities. Now the little ones don't have to go through it because she has that education now, so they don't have any cavities with the little ones. So.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony today. I think I'm going to close the public testimony now and move to questions from the senator, Senator Hayden.
Madam Chair, I think it's a good bill, and I'd like to move it.
Okay. Senator Hayden moves Senate File 636 be passed and referred to
as amended
to Finance. Any further discussion on the bill? Thank you very much for your patience with us as well. And all those in favor of the bill, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The bill passes. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope that the language will not be changed when once it gets to Finance, like what we did today in my early bill.
I will remember this bill, Senator Howe.
But if you can allow me a few seconds, earlier we cut Dr. Peterson short of her testimony, and I want to praise her. You know, she lived in my district and have clinic in my district, and also Maplewood and Number in Rochester. She's very emotional about this and want to help children. And I know her way before I served the Senate, and now she know me. But I see her work, and she's if I can quantify to say she's almost the Mother Teresa for our children when it comes to dental health for the disparity. So thank you very much for the time.
Okay, well, thank you. And I do feel bad about the tightness of the testimony, but I can assure you that I'm going to continue to have to do that in order for us to get through this agenda. So with that, we're recessed. We'll be meeting again at 5:30 this evening in this room.
Still here.